Praise God. Let's have our seat. Praise God. Let me ask your neighbor, thank God for today. Or tell them, thank God for today. Thank God it's Friday. You know, I've always been expecting that one day, only two or three of us will come over here. But never happened. You know, people wonder about people not coming to church. But I just thank God we just keep coming and keep worshiping the Lord. I remember the first time we talked about having worship experience. Somebody said, will they be, that was years ago. I said, will they keep coming? I said, let's try it. And here we are, glory to Jesus. Can we lift our hands? Say to yourself, I'm a worshiper of the Almighty God. And I'm here to worship. I'm here to give God the glory. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, thank you. Tonight, I'm here to give you glory. I'm here to give you praise. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Let me say something that will help all of us that Reverend Mrs. brought up. And some of us, when we had it, it didn't click. Romans 13. Romans 13. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 1. Something she said, I want us to take a look with it. Hallelujah. Let me see whether this is working now. All right. Okay. Let's put this one on. Yeah, it's working here a little bit. Okay, it's not working. Don't worry. Okay, don't worry, I'll use this one. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God. Can you look up? Can you look up? Do you think this is true of Nigerian government? Don't lie. Liars will go to hell. Do you think that the authorities in Nigeria, they are appointed by God? Now, this is the problem. You are confusing the office with the person. The office of the president is not Tinubu. The office of the governor is not Dapo Abiodun. Are you hearing me? The person who occupies the office and the office are two different things. That's why 8 years, they will drop off. So the authorities are the offices. They are ordained and appointed by God so that we can have safe life. Whatever you do there depends sometimes. Am I making some sense? So the presidency, all those things were worked out. God enabled it to take place. Do we get that? Now, somebody said, the authority, you see, the authority in UK, we are actually using US system of government. Authority in US, they are kind of the same authority here. But the person who is filling it may not act the way it should act. Is that all right? Are we following? Let's keep reading. Next verse. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring on themselves judgment. Now, we should not be resisting the office. Many of us don't know the difference between them. When somebody becomes the president, he's occupying an office. Becomes the governor. We do that when we go out to say, Your Excellency, am I right? Not because the person is excellent. He will live after 8 years at most. But that office is excellent, all right? And when we come against that authority, we refuse the governing authority, like the governor, like local government chairman, like presidency, there'll be trouble. Even in your workplace too, the HOD, all the setup, they are to help things to run well. Am I making some sense? Is it clear? So when you start resisting an office, somebody was telling me one time, the person that was in authority was actually fighting him. And the person said, I have to respect you because you occupy this office. And that office, that your seat before me is exalted. Am I making some sense? Some of you over here, you are hearing me now. You think that you hate authority, you hate all this Tinubu. When they put you there, you do worse yourself. I can guarantee that one. I can guarantee that 90% of people sitting here will do the same thing and worse than that. Pastor, how do you know? You are Nigerians. So that's our problem, not the office. Let's keep reading. Something she said, I want to bring God for us. For rulers are not a terror to what? But to what? See, somebody just laughed. Is that true? Is that true? Rulers are not terror. Rulers are the encouragers of right? Emefiele. The office, the reason why EFCC is now taken in is because it didn't occupy the office as would have occupied the office. If you had escaped EFCC, you can't escape heaven. That's what you don't understand, that God will hold them responsible. You cannot do so much about it besides making noise. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Notice that actually when you do better, the government, whether they are good or bad, they still want to celebrate you. Let's keep reading. Now, what did he call him? What did he call him? For he's God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he's God's, again, for he's what? So, they're as more as a minister as your pastor is a minister. They are more as a minister, Baba Debo is a minister of God. We are in trouble today. Ask your neighbor, is actually Tinubu a minister of God? For good. You know what you are doing? You are doing like Sarah did. Sarah laughed. When he said she will conceive, she loved each other. He said she held behind. She laughed. God said, "You laugh." Say, "I didn't laugh." How many of you laugh now? Confess your sin, unlike Sarah. God's minister for your good. He's God's minister. He's an avenger to execute wrath. Let's lift our hands and say, Father, thank you for our rulers. We want to let you know that they are your ministers. We acknowledge they are your ministers. We don't understand everything, but we understand this, that you said they are your ministers for our good. They are your minister to us for good. Father, we accept your word. Can we do that? Father, we receive your word. Father, we thank you. We appreciate this truth. Oh, blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord God, for they are our ministers for good. Open your eyes. One time my wife and I wanted to travel. We wanted to go to the U.S. to go and preach. And then, you know, the embassy is terrible. I mean, the American embassy, they don't give you visa because, unlike UK, where they would go to the paper, the guy just stand over there and looks at you. If he's not feeling good about you, he'll tell you, you are not going. Feeling good about you, you can go. And I know the way they behave. These guys, some of them are even secondary school dropouts in America, and they bring them there. I'm not lying. I'm just telling you the truth. They are not serious. There's some of them who don't know anything. They just go out there. You go, you don't come. So I remember particular Sunday before I go to the embassy, I was standing over there. I don't know where I was. Somebody was just talking, and he said, they are God's minister for your good. So I just told myself that guy I'm going to go and meet is a minister for my good. I'm not running away from Nigeria to escape abroad. I'm going to preach for 2 weeks, and I book only for 2 weeks and come back. We didn't go anywhere. Yeah, did we go anywhere else? We just went, preach 2 weeks. We just preach, pick up our bag the day after or something, and headed back to Nigeria. Praise God.
Pastor, you should go and see members.
You think they are waiting for me? I'm going to my house. They knock at the door, they say they have traveled. Something. So, and I just walked there, And he asked me certain questions. He was asking one question I couldn't even answer. I was looking for the answer from the book in my hand. He said, hey, you're going. Go and pick up your passport. I just walked out. I have to say that this is a minister for my good. I'm not going to lie. Hello? Hello? Tell yourself, all those who are in authority, they are there for my good. And they will encourage the good in my life. Can you lift up your hands and say, thank you, Father, that these ministers, these rulers will work for my God. Can you say that with your mouth? They will work for my God. They will work for my God. They work for our God. Thank you for their working for our God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to Jesus. While we were, put your hands down. While we were doing that, you know, I love to watch and pray. When I'm praying, I'm watching, I'm listening. So while we're praying, I just saw a picture, and that picture I'm going to share with you. Let's go to chapter 2, Ecclesiastes. Maybe this will make meaning to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge to a man who is good in his sight. But what does he do? But to the sinner, let me hear your voice. But to the sinner, what does he do? He gives the work of gathering and collecting like Dangote. That he may give to him who is good before God. Am I not good before God? Yeah. Don't put your hands on quickly. Don't put your hands on quickly. How do you know you are good before God? Well, I know you're righteous. There are two different things. you know, you're righteous by faith. The Bible says you're good by faith. Say that. you have to prove your goodness to me. All right, hold on. Okay, I'm not trying to cause trouble for you. That he may give to you who is good. Now, are you listening? One of my teachers, the man who wrote the book that we read in church, Powerful Principle of Increase, remember him? That book we read, Second Service. He was at airport, coming out airport, and there was only one taxi left. Listen to this. Only one taxi left. And then this man just ran out of the airport arrival. And as he was coming, there was only one taxi left. So this man of God wanted to enter. That guy said, man, I need to do some things in the city. I will just so that my place. I just wish I could get it. That man of God just stopped. He said, you can take my taxi. I'll wait for another one. So he jumped in. Everybody was looking at him. He said, what happened? Oh, he said, he's working for me. He said, how come? He already just said. He said, you want to go and do a deal in town? You want to make more money? You just go, enter my taxis and go. We all just laughed. You know what he said? He said, he's working for him based on this verse. Did you hear what I just said? To the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him that who is good before God. You didn't hear it, forget it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say that with me one more time. I don't know who needs this today. All our rulers are working for my God. They are working for my God. They are your ministers, Father, for my God. For my good. They are not working for my evil. They are working for my good. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Can we lift our hands one more time and give thanks to God for the goodness that these authorities will do toward us and will perform toward us. Thank you. I don't know how you will need it. But Father, thank you. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now let's say, Father, we bring them under your authority as your minister. We bring them under your authority as your ministers. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Open your eyes. You see, we are in the worship of God. Worship is more than singing. Worship is valuing what God values. Yeah, we're going to sing, but we need to value what God values. That's part of worship. Worth. Acts 23, verse 1. We're talking about rulers of our people. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, this was the council of Jerusalem. They call them Sanhedrin Council. Said, men and brethren, please can you look up or look at your Bible? I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. How many of you can say that? You know what? Listen to me, everybody. See that word again, good, dear. See that word good again. Working for your good. You know what? Everybody here should learn to know that you will never know everything about what you do in life. You will never know everything about that girl you want to marry. You never know everything about that fellow you want to go out with. You never know everything about that deal you want to do. You will never know everything. If you know everything, then we'll give you the place of God. I will never know everything we'll do in the service, like what I'm doing now. I didn't plan for this. But I can always do everything in everything, whether I know, I don't know. I can always follow my good conscience. I can always be conscientious that I will go as far as I know in a good way. Listen to me now. If somebody is a thief and I don't know it, and I do business with him, I don't know it, I'm not deliberately going to do evil. So if I'm caught in that, with that person, I have the right to come out because I'm living a good conscience. I'm not going out deliberately to cheat and falsify. But if I don't have all the facts, and nobody has all the facts. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear me? I will show you what I mean by that right now. I will hear everybody. You will see how that takes place now. How to live in good conscience all your days. Look at next verse. And then, when he said that out of his mouth, the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to slap him on his mouth. Now, Paul was in the council. Paul was also an elderly man, not a small boy. And the council was there, the Sanhedrin, 70 of them, and is headed by the high priest, who was like the spiritual head in Israel. And then Paul said, I've lived all my life in good conscience. And that high priest said, they should slap him. Now let me show you how he responded. Come and see. Look at this verse. Then Paul said to him, God bless you. What did he say? Can you look on the screen? He just said, I've lived all my life in good conscience, right? God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, Okofolada. For you to sit to judge me according to the law and do command me to be struck contrary to the law. You see, in all good conscience, Paul knew the law of the land. And he knew that they should not act that way. But something happened. That's all he knew. He didn't know more. Look at next verse. And those who stood by said, do you revile, do you speak evil of God's high priest? Do you just say anything and blast high priest? Now, see, he didn't know he was the high priest. Look at next verse. What did he say? Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. That has too many. I didn't know. Number two, he shouldn't be behaving like that if he's the high priest. You understand that? Because that way you will not know he's the high priest. You understand? You don't get that. God bless you. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Do you see the office and the person conflicting before Paul? Are we everybody? When I say that you should be talking about ministers for your good, doesn't mean you should not stand upon your right. But please, don't let that your right overtake and do things. He just withdrew his word back. He said, I never know he's our high priest. But God said, we should not speak evil. Now, please be very careful. How you talk about politicians who are in power. I know I talk about them too. But you should have a sense of caution, whoever you are. Don't quickly speak things against those who are in authority. You just be careful. I know Nigeria, we talk, it's our pastime. Tinubu, Otilo, France, Kloto, Los Embe, Sarah, Oyani. Yeah, you know, that's who we are. I guess when they put ranking of those who speak evil of their nation, Nigeria will be in the first 10, if not the first one. Praise the Lord.
Pastor, I'm here to worship.
You are right. We are here to what? To give what to God? To what God give what to? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we lift and say, Father, help us not to speak evil of the ruler of your people. Because the authorities are from you. Help us to acknowledge. Help us to appreciate. Help us to see what you are doing when we can't see it. And Lord, we declare again, these men and women are ministers for our good. They're working for our good. We agree, Father, with your word. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we worship and magnify your name. Because as we do this, we know we are magnifying and respecting your person that spoke that word. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You see, authority includes your mom and your dad. Some of you that are younger over here. Be very careful how you talk about your dad and your mom. They may offend you. But the Bible said that if you speak evil of your parents under the Old Testament, it will stone you to death. You hear what I just said? Some of you over here have already grown up now. You have 13. Be very careful. They are not you don't do that. You don't do that. You don't do that. They are also authority. Praise God. You should not. Pastor, why should I? They give back to you. Without them, you will not be here. Physically speaking, they are authority over you. When you know nothing, they were there for you. Just be careful. Are you hearing me? Till now, when I see my mom, I still dobale. I'm bigger than her. I'm taller than her. I'm 60 plus. I'm a grandfather myself now. But that's my mom. Glory to Jesus. So you can live long and live well. Making some sense this now? Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as we are worshippers, you know what? Bible says that these people, they worship me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Let's put our heart where it should be with God. Let's respect our parents. Those who are authority over us. Praise God. Right? Okay. Let's sing a song. I hope you can play it for us to see. Can I get the song on the paper? I'll be on the screen. Very simple song. This is testing for the first time. This is Baladi's creation. Let's see how it works. This is from the used to play. You guys come now. Hold us as far as it can go. Let's see. Can I try it? Okay. It's not coming through. It's not coming through. Just a minute. Maybe I didn't get it right. Okay. I think it should play now. It's not playing still. Very simple song. I wish we can learn it. This special is not getting down. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Can I get that? Where's Samuel? Can I get that? Where's Samuel? That thing I gave to him. Let me get Samuel. Okay, all right. Let's see whether we can use that one. Very simple song. Don't worry. If he doesn't play, I'll just play with my microphone. Very simple song. Our God reigns twice. They didn't put twice there. Forever his kingdom reigns. Okay. Let's try on this one. If this one doesn't work too, we'll go somewhere else. That's living in Nigeria. You have different numbers. Okay. Let's see whether it will work here. Can you give me some volume? I think this thing itself looks funny. So it has entrance, but not full entrance. So, okay, you know what we can do? We can hear it like this. Okay. Let's try it by the microphone. Can we? All right. Can we come? Oh, you came and went back? Or you have not come at all? Okay. Did you test this thing at all? Did you test it at all?
Yes, sir.
With your phone?
Yes, sir.
And your phone worked there?
Yes, sir.
It must be a special phone. Okay, maybe I will share it with you so we can.
God
reigns. Very simple. Very simple song. You got it? Can we try it? Let's do it.
My God reigns.
word reign means to rule, to have the upper hand. A lot of times when we read our Bible and see things around us, we wonder how they'll turn out. Like we just laughed over God saying that they are his ministers. But ultimately, our God reigns. He will have his way. His kingdom cannot be set apart. And he knows what he's doing. So sometimes when things don't go the way we think it should go, which we are going to talk about today, and things don't go our way, and mountains stand before our way, we find ourselves in the valley of life. We can actually lift our hands and say, God reigns. God is reigning, right? Sinners and Satan, they run riot on this planet. But we know that Jesus is coming one day, and it can't be like this forever. Not only that, he has better agenda for us. If life is like this forever, and it's forever like this, there's no need to come to Christ. Because if all our hope is in this world, we are most miserable of all men. But we are told that in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I'll come back and take you. So we don't look at what we see as the final thing around us over here. I want us to see that there'll be an alignment. There'll be an alignment. Heaven and earth will align. Right now, they are not singing it. Right now, doesn't look like it. We sing a song a couple of, maybe a month years ago, talking about all the angels shout. Holy is the Lord. And all the earth will reply, whether they like it or not, one time or the other. Holy are you, Lord.
All the angels shout, holy is the Lord.
And all the earth reply,
all the earth reply,
holy are you.
Holy are you.
All the angels shout.
All the angels shout.
Holy is the Lord.
Holy is the Lord.
Holy are you,
and all the angels.
like this. I'm going to say some things today that will help all of us over here. Many of us come to service like this, depending upon our mood. If something good happens to us before we come for service, we turaka. When not looking so well, we turasile. And when it's just so-so, we just so-so. But we don't reply. We don't do things with God with so-so or according to our mood. So I would like you to get up on your feet. We are going to align heaven with earth. And I want to sing that song in a better mood, if you prefer that. Can you just imagine all the angels, billions of them, screaming in heaven, "Holy is the Lord," and the earth will reply back, "Holy are you." Whoa.
All the angels shout,
"Holy is the Lord,
holy is the Lord."
Holy
the earth
reply,
holy
hell,
holy
are you,
holy angels, holy angels shout,
he worship
holy
you
is
today.
The Lord,
holy is the Lord,
holy earth reply,
holy earth reply,
holy are
holy.
You,
holy are you,
holy angels shout,
holy angels shout,
holy
holy is the Lord.
All the earth reply.
All the earth reply.
Holy are you.
Holy are you.
All the angels
hallelujah.
Holy is the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All the earth reply.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy.
Holy are you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To the King.
Oh, hallelujah.
To the Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
Make us up and down. You know, I was coming for this service today. I was praying. I got things to do. And I was wondering, Lord, what do you want tonight in this service? And I just had, just almost time of service. I was getting really scared. I said, I want to address what is making my people to be up and down. He spelled one word, afflictions, troubles. And if you are not careful, you will let your life be dependent on how, whether you have affliction. Some of you over here, even when things go good for a while, you say, I hope that it won't. Take your Bible with me for a few minutes. You see, the Bible said Job, when he heard about all the bad reports, he fell down on his face. And what did he do? He worshipped. Have you read before? Let's go and see that. Job chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. Job chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. And afflictions, our country is just. You there? Take a look. Verse 20. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground. What did he do? Interesting. Ask your neighbor. Is that you to get ready for service? Pastor, I'm going for worship. Tear your clothes. Then take a shaving stick and scrape your head.
Pastor, what's happening? I'm going for worship.
What will you say? He arose, tore his robe. What happened? He had so much and he was afflicted so much. You can categorize all his afflictions in three categories. Actually, four. And you will hear it today from 3 John 2. You see, 3 John 2 is God's limit on our life, which is limitless. Beloved, I love you. I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You can see over there, beloved. You can see over there, prosper. You can see over there, health. You can see over there, soul doing well. But Job, see, afflictions can be categorized in four dimensions. Number one, Job, listen to this. Job had his prosperity attacked. Am I correct? Animals, livestock, businesses crashed, collapsed. Second, Job had his health attacked. Am I correct? Afflicted. He was afflicted concerning his head. He had boils from top of his head to the sole of his feet. So we can see in the area of finances, in the area of health, in the area of affection and stuff like that, his wife said, curse God and die. Let it go now. Then that's outside until you read about Job through from chapter 3 thereabout downward. And you can see Job with his soulless affliction. You know, sometimes what happens to us doesn't affect us as much as what happened within us. The shame, the pain. Sometimes it's not just only failing an exam. It's what it does to your soul that makes it worse. What people lose their mind and lose their emotional life and they wind up taking all kinds of stuff at Arrow. It's not because the things are just the things. It's because something has broken in their soul. It's called brokenheartedness. So we can see afflictions in these dimensions. Job was afflicted. He got to the point and said, curse the day I was born. His heart of love was broken. He lost his 10 children one day. Are you hearing me? Love, I mean, sometimes when you go through trials, you have people that can stand with you. But when you don't have people that can stand with you, it can be. You know, when you sometimes you watch this Gaza thing, you see a bomb fall and the father is gone. The mom is spared. The three children are gone. You know, it's so beyond measure. You can say Hamas, Israel, but just more than that, these are individual families involved. God never loves war. He told David that you are a man of blood. Though I ordained the war, but you won't build my house. So afflictions and pain, they are all over our life. But let me make it come home. Somebody four. Verse 19. You know, somebody was talking with me recently and I showed them this verse. 34 verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Can you see the two blocks in that verse? There is the many, there is the but. Thank God there is the but there. Amen. Many are the afflictions. So don't look at yourself as if everybody else is doing well except me. Something wrong with me. Afflict means something coming against you you don't like. Something going wrong. Sometimes simply not even getting your dream fulfilled can be an affliction. You know what I'm talking about? Are you everybody? Sometimes you need A or B3 in English and you are given C5. You know, that just know what it can be afflicting. Somebody else is rejoicing at. You see, P something is rejoicing. People take put cross border, people fellow school. But you know that that's not, you know, that will. So this is in our soul. I like verse 17 of that same chapter. I'll show you something quickly before we leave. The righteous do what? Cry out. And the Lord, what does he do? He hears. And what does he do? See that word deliver again. Oh, I got a song which I wish I can play for you. Say, the righteous cry out. Cry out. The Lord delivers. Maybe I'll send it to you tonight, if possible. Very, very loud song. Cry out. He didn't say, he just pray. He said, cry out. No, don't this one. I don't want this. No, God, not my bad. No. You know, it's amazing. People will say, and the Lord is just teaching me of this sickness. But he still go to hospital, right? Why are they going there? Or if it's the will of God. Ain't no will of God, nothing. Pain, lack, they are not the will of God. Praise God. Are we blessed tonight? Let's look at the three sources of affliction. Write this one. Don't forget it in your life. For the righteous. Why? What happened? Take a look. And so sometimes when you come to service like this, things happen before you come. Things happen after you come. Please, can you look up? No matter what you are going through that is bad, cry out. Cry out against it. You know what I mean? I don't want this. And I will not take this, and it won't last in my life. That's cry out. Are you hearing me? If you are, Israel was 400 years about in slavery. Take a look. Exodus 2. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Simple things I want to share with you before we leave here. Just for a few minutes. Exodus 2. Look at verse 23. Now in the process of time, that the king of Judah, the children of Israel, groaned because of the bondage. And they cry out. Some cries don't get to God because they are whimpers cry. They are losers cry. Oluwa, was by that's a whimper's cry. Huh? This will have an end. That's what Ruth did. Am I right? Ruth did that kind of cry. Not just, oh, no, I don't know, come on, No. They cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Is that the last verse there? So God heard their groaning. Does God hear your groaning? Some of these things, you should not just like it. When you have pain, one of the things I do when I get sick is just cry out against the thing. I'm not going to take it until you get out of here. finances, the same thing. I just don't really pray. There's something within me that just rebels against. Tell me, you need to rebel against afflictions, against pain. Don't just settle down and say, hey, sometimes I'm weak, I'm down, I'm out. But no, even when I'm weak, I'm strong. Praise God, somebody. And you can't take away my groaning, my cry. And God will remember his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Let me show you three things that bring affliction. Some of you help you tonight. Number one, as Christians, let me just read to you the Bible. So I don't want to quote it. I don't want to say it because first I'm a pastor. Come and see Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. The devil is putting some stuff on you for one reason. This is the first reason. You must know this reason. Look at verse 17. And they have no root in themselves. Talking about this stony ground. And so endure only for a time. Can you look up, everybody? Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for what? For the word's sake. What happened to them? You know, because God promised the future for Israel, Egypt held them in bondage. In fact, about the time for them to leave, that's when the harshness was more evident. Don't just come to church. Come to your promised land. All of us live in problem land. But God told Moses, I'm taking you to the... Listen, everybody. God said to him, I'm taking you to the promised land. But you have to go through the wilderness to have a service on the way there. So he said, go and tell Pharaoh. God said, don't tell Pharaoh you are going to the promised land. Tell him you are going to go and praise and worship and serve God and have a service in the wilderness. You hear what I just said? And you know what Pharaoh did? Pharaoh increased their work so they won't have time to think about going for service in the wilderness. Many of you don't know that these services you are coming to, they are your way to the promised land. You know what has happened in your life by coming here? You know what God has done? And God has not finished yet. Clap your hands for Jehovah God. You get that tipping point. Just keep coming for services. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God and he will bless. Hallelujah. So, affliction will come because you are hearing the word of God. Trials will come because you are hearing the word of God. He will want to present to you that this thing won't work. God is a liar and you are wasting your time following him. You must know that because of, number one, affliction in a Christian life is because you have heard and you have known the truth. And he has to get your mind to see that God is a liar. Remember the first time in the garden? What did he come to attack? He came and said, as God said. So the fight is just more than your health, more than your finances, more than your family. It's over God's integrity of his word in your life. Remember Job? He said, does this have you for nothing? You're going to have to stand by that word. So affliction will come sometimes. A lot of time to Christians as we are getting older in the Lord. Because the enemy sees that if I don't stop you, you will multiply. That's what he said about Egyptians. They said, if we let this Israelites continue like this, they will multiply and overtake us. But you know what I said about Israelites? When you have affliction from the word of God, because of the word of God, there's something that will come with it. Come and see chapter 1, verse 12, Exodus. Come and see. Everybody take this verse. Put yourself in this verse. 1, verse 12, Exodus. But the more they afflicted them financially, emotionally, physically, in health, the more they what? So our growth and our multiplication takes place in affliction. Did you hear what I just said? You can escape abroad, but it's still waiting for you there. There are Nigerian affliction, there are UK affliction, there are US affliction, there are Kenya affliction. The devil is the same devil everywhere, and persons have different things. It goes up and down the earth. Not only that, but you as a person, it will organize things to block you from thinking about God. You know, Pharaoh said, give them, double their work and don't give them any resources. So they will not be thinking that there's a God to go and worship somewhere. And tell yourself, I'm going to worship God. Tell yourself, I'm going to lift up the name of the Lord. Nothing will make me back off in the name of Jesus. Can you lift up your hands and say, thank you, Father, for no affliction will make me to draw back. Say, they endure for a while. Well, look, go back to that. We are now, we read Mark 4, verse 17, right? What did he say there? Mark 4, 17. Can you remember what he says? Immediately they stumble. Prof read that verse for us last Sunday, second service, about believing for a while. Come and see. Luke 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. Oh, praise God. The Lord is my healer. God is my provider. You take care of me. I know you'll be there for me. And these have no roots, who believe for a while. And in time of temptation, trials, affliction, they fall away. I've been there. I've been in church for some time. People come and say, hallelujah. After a few battles with the devil, they just surrender and come to church as an ordinary church member. They don't fight anymore. They don't feel anything. They just carry on. But along merge, God forbid, we are going to rise up and take what belongs to us in Jesus' name. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Number one, afflictions come because of the word. Number two, affliction comes from others to you. Are you hearing me? What did I say? People will afflict you. It's called persecutions. It's called pain. It's called stress. Sometimes your principal will afflict you. Sometimes your colleagues will afflict you. Sometimes your siblings will afflict you. Sometimes your parents will afflict you. God didn't sell Joseph. Who sold Joseph? His brothers. Am I right? Am I right? Sometimes some things you are accusing God. Don't accuse God. Accuse men. Men are doing things. But in all these things, God will use it to move you forward in Jesus' name. Persecution will come. People will do things. And please relax. You live in a world that's falling. You live in a world that is falling. Sometimes your husband will afflict you. Sometimes your wife will afflict you. Sometimes your friend will afflict you. Your enemy, of course, will afflict you. They want you unhappy. They want you sad. They want you down. Government will afflict you sometimes. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? And sometimes it will be Lakbo. Afflict you. Double your interest because you didn't pay last month. I got a couple to come and see me. They are both pastors. They are owing money. They couldn't pay. See, the wife had high blood pressure. She got money to do business. I said, my sister, go and sleep. Don't worry. Because this money is not borrowed for yourself to do just to live. You borrow this money and the bank knew the risk involved. So let's share the risk together with the bank. He said, huh? She looked up. I said, you know what? When you get to the bank next time, tell them that it was for business and it flopped. So what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? No, we are going to get the money from you. Lelopa. Oh yeah, Jalo. The blood pressure just went down. It's not your doing. All this dollar rate, it's not your doing sometimes. Am I right? Tell your neighbor, don't carry it on your head. Praise the Lord. You can ask my wife. My wife will say, hey, dear, Olewo, I just walk off. I said, don't worry. We'll do what we need to do. Okay, I have 50,000. I want to buy something. And they said, Mary, it's 50,000. And what they say? Ah, and then I said, okay, when I met a local, I met an hour. I will not stand there. I say, hey, Nigeria, Banuemo, move on. Hallelujah. Others will afflict you. Oh, Israel was in the midst of enemies. He said, it was saying, he said, from my young day, from the youth, days of my youth, I've been afflicted. I don't know, how many of you have been in Nigeria for some time? It was one time of Abacha. How many of you have around Abacha time? Or you small, you don't know anything. Then Saab, Babangida, and Saptos, he will come and talk long for hours, and you know where he's going. They call him Maradona. if you allow that time. Then Buhari came. People left for abroad. It's the same thing that happened. He said, you don't know, you need to. Buhari came to become Nigerian president, and people were leaving the country. They went to Saudi. They went. It's not a new thing. Buhari just came back. Now he won't come back again. We know he's going to the grave from there, 80 plus. So it's not anything new. Are you hearing me? And government people, all kinds of things will happen. But through our God, we shall do valiantly. You know, there's this verse, Psalm 66, that we already read. Is it verse 10 now? Let's go down there. I hope I'm correct. They're talking about wealthy place. There, am I right? Okay, let's go down there. Give us in. See, for you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. Next verse. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. Next verse. You have caused men to ride over our heads. It's not anything new. We went through fire and through water. But you brought us out. Give me in KJV. That last part. Look at it. Verse 12. KJV. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou brought us out into a wealthy place. That's a wealthy place for you. That's a wealthy place where you will settle down, you will reduce, you will give glory to God. Tell yourself, I have a wealthy place. Men can afflict us, just like Joseph. They will drive us there. Praise God, somebody. Number three, you yourself can cause yourself affliction. Psalm 119, verse 67. Number one, we have trouble because of the word of God. Number two, others can cause trouble in our life. Number three, Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, what did I do? What did I do? I went astray. But now, what you call me, Lord, mother, now I keep your word. Are you hearing me? Some things I don't do anymore because I've learned through hard ways. Pastor, which one? Don't worry, it's in my diary. And it's padlocked. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no way you can avoid it because you will take what you not take, do it on. Remember, how many of you remember David in the Bible? He was carrying the Ark of the Covenant to his house. And they were rejoicing. And they put the Ark on a cart. And there were these two boys from the house where the Ark was following the Ark to keep it going. And then the cow that was carrying the Ark started doing like this into the bush. And the young man just said, Lord, Emma Subu, if they can help me. Just wanted to help God from falling down. He touched the ark and boosha! He died instantly. David said, now, wow, I know I'm a sinner. This didn't enter my house. So he stopped. Let me tell you what he did. Let me show you what he did. He stopped and said, where's Bola Uchi? Worship leader, take it home. That's what happened. Called Obed Edom, who was a worship person. He said, Obed Edom, take it to your house. So the guy said, Lord, by me, took the thing home. Within 3 months, they were all blessed. David scratched his head. Kilon sele. What's wrong with God? So he picked up the Bible and he read. And he saw that he must not carry the ark on a cart. It must be carried on the shoulder of men. He learned. Now I keep your word. Next time he went to go and carry the ark, you know what he did? He got men. And David will dance 6 steps, stop, offer sacrifice. Tell a neighbor beside you, sometimes you cause yourself trouble. Tell him, can you testify? Can you give me a testimony of the trouble causing yourself? None of your business. Tell him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sometimes people can cause trouble in there. I saw this verse. My wife preached about it one time. 21:23 Proverbs. If you want to reduce your self-afflictions, learn this verse. 21:23 Proverbs. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue, what does he do? Keeps his soul from troubles. Some things don't say to your husband. Don't say to your wife. See, some things I don't joke with. Like I was coming, I was hearing something like this. You know, you have 3 children. You say to them, my 3 children, oh, you know my best is this one. Oh. Those words you say like that, jesting, they become something that will come haunting your children later in life. I don't, something I don't joke about. I don't say my favorite kid is, I don't do that. Some of us, we don't know how to. You see, it's better not to say anything than to say something. You'll be safer to not say anything than you didn't say much. Oh man, some women over here, I want to warn you. Don't just say everything. Don't say everything. This morning, some relative, this morning I was telling them, I said, this one I said that. Just let us know. Don't. Words are causing more trouble on this planet more than anything else. You tell your mom, oh, like my mom. So today I will sit down. You already send him out. You think you are just saying something because he says, hey, like my mom. So today I will sit down. You just said it to yourself. You planted the seed. Huh? Don't say anything. Just shut up. Ask you about your health. You now open the catalog from FMC to Lantoro to Kini. Say, Limini, Etiwa, Kimi, Ebang Bogiwa, Murasi. Ask for Ogi, but don't start all the litany of woes. Drink the Ogi, but don't talk about, Ayemi. Look at Job. Job could have stopped all his troubles. First he worshiped. Next time his friends came, and for 8 months they were discussing nonsense. Let's close with this. My time is up. Really, really up. But listen to this. Let's just read our Bible as we close. One of the things I do when I go through affliction is just to open what God said about afflictions. I just read them. Let's close. Number one, where is Psalm 34? Am I right? The righteous, many are the troubles of the righteous. So if you have any many troubles, know this. 34 verse 19, quickly. 34 verse 19, Proverbs. We just quickly read, put them down, think about it yourself. Psalm 34 verse 19, quickly, give us on the screen. Thank you. Many! So don't count your troubles. Are you hearing me? Don't count your afflictions. The Bible says many. Am I right? Are you okay? So when you have them, say, oh, Lua, just, the Bible says many. But there's a but there. Is there any but there? But the Lord delivers him out of them all. And you're going to come out of all of them in the name of Jesus. To bank posi, Ben, that's my posi, look at Jesus. Are you hearing me? That's it. You have things, people will make life difficult. Just believe that you are coming out of this, you're going to do well, you're going to live in your house, you're going to have joy, peace at home. Let's go. Romans chapter 5. If you just read New Living Translation, let's just read. Then we round up plus James and close. From verse 3, Romans. Okay, from verse 1, let's just read. From verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. What he has done for us. Tell yourself, I have peace. I have peace now with God. God's not mad at me. God's not mad at me because Jesus is my Savior. Next verse. Let's read on. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. That's what the devil is attacking. And please read that part with me. Open your mouth. Let's read. And we what? Confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glorious goodness. Tell yourself, I'm looking forward. I refuse to look back. I'm looking forward. Hallelujah. Confidently and joyfully. Let's keep reading. Next verse. I love this one. Huh? We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop what? Tell yourself, I'm on the way of developing endurance. You know, I do some stretches that I read. They do some stretches. And they told me that if I'm going to develop muscles and be strengthened, I need to have a point where something's opposing my stretch. That will have to stretch me. So you have to do some things like sitting up and doing that kind of thing and stretching and doing all that kind of thing. You are doing it on purpose to make something better happen in your flesh. And when I do that, I feel better when I get out. Hello? My back doesn't hurt much. So we develop endurance. Next verse. And endurance develops what? Strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Did you hear those words? Think about them. Endurance, what develops endurance? Trials and problems. And that leads us to what? strength of character. And then listen to what? Confident hope. There are some hope that we have that doesn't have any test. It's called fantasy. But when that hope has gone through tests, it's real hope. How many of you wanted to become doctor when you were younger? When reality met fascination, you are now today a Greek officer. Are you blessed? Praise the Lord. Next verse, quickly. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment. I can dance there. Hallelujah. This hope of his promises. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our heart with his love. And not true? Come on, clap your hands for Jesus over there. This hope will not lead us to disappointment. So read some more. James 1, let's read and then go home. Let's read Message Bible. James 1, verse 2. Quickly. Let's go home quickly. James 1, verse 2. So we read NLT and Message Bible together. Okay, let's do that if we can. Let's go to James 1, verse 2, NLT. Okay? Give us NLT first. I love to read this in the middle of the night when I'm going through trials. That's what I do. That's where I got encouraged. I don't just want to take ice cream. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider what? An opportunity for. Ask your neighbor, is that opportunity indeed? Opportunity. Say, Lord, thank you for all the trials. There are opportunities for me. For great joy, mega joy. Hallelujah. Can you close your eyes? Are you having any trouble right now? Say, Lord, I rejoice in the midst of this trial, this affliction. I rejoice that you are my God, you are my hope, you are my strength in the land of the living. And I will go beyond this and your endurance will carry me through. Hallelujah. When troubles come your way, consider it. Next verse, quickly. Why? Because for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Back there again. Endurance. Pastor, why is endurance needed for life? Look at next verse. So let endurance grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. How many here? You want to be in that place where you don't need anything. Tell yourself, endurance will take you there. Give us Message Bible from verse 2 and we go home. Consider it what? Look up, everybody. Let me hear your voice now. We are going home. Share gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from where? From all sides. Why? Next verse. For you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open, and so is true color. You don't know how much you believe God. When those moments come, you start confessing the word of God coming from your mouth like bullets. You wonder, where did I know those scriptures? It is test, forcing endurance to come out in the open. Praise God, somebody. Next verse, I love this. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. All about lakbo. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. You know my question, how long? I am too magnificent in the hands of God. He will wait me out for eternity. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But in these last couple of years, I've been changing for the better. I'm putting some visible progress. Not everything yet too. But I'm coming to become really enduring. I am not a person who endures. I love to walk away from things. My wife is here. I can walk away from anything. You know, in my earlier days, one day you just come to church. Pastor is gone. I just go, thunder. That I can't do anymore now. I'm getting better. Are you hearing me? Oh, anything. I just walk off. And I don't have time to wait. Even microwave is too slow for me. I said, my wife, increase the power. She said, no, don't increase the power. It will burn. I said, could it burn? Oh, yeah, increase. I want it faster. There's no swimming in my name. but I'm getting better. Praise God, somebody. Are you blessed today? In all this, I'm going to finish with a song and we are going home. Don't forget that your father is in charge. Our God reigns. Get up on your feet. Let's go home. I know I've taken your time. Bear with me. In all this, remember, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Forever, his kingdom. Trials. Afflictions. Our God reigns. Let's go. I got rain.
In all these things.